This is LBC from Global, leading Britain's conversation with Ian Dale at Drive.
Hello, a very good evening. It's 4 minutes past six. You're listening to Ian Dale at Drive. I know I keep promising you that we are going to hear from Theo Ashwood, but we are going to hear from Theo Ashwood about Tom Watson's travails in the Labour anti-Semitism row in about 15 minutes' time. But I want to talk about Donald Trump, the EU and Iran in this hour, because the UK and EU partners have made a move to block Donald Trump's sanctions on Iran in order to preserve peace. Now, just to give you a bit of the background to this, you remember back in May that Donald Trump announced that he was withdrawing from the deal with Iran so it wouldn't continue that Barack Obama made with Iran, so they wouldn't continue nuclear explorations. Well, the sanctions come into force today. Well, the EU have reacted fairly swiftly to this. This afternoon they issued a joint statement saying, "We are determined to protect European economic operators engaged in legitimate business with Iran in accordance with EU law and with UN Security Council Resolution 2231. This is why the European Union's updated blocking statute enters into force on the 7th of August to protect EU companies doing legitimate business with Iran from the impact of US extraterritorial sanctions." Now, the reason that they've done this is because America has threatened to sanction any company, any European company, that continues to do business with Iran. And of course, France and Germany in particular have huge contracts with Iran, and a lot of their companies have already started to pull out of Iran, including Total, Siemens, and many other companies too. So it's not quite clear what impact this EU action is going to have, but the Americans will be absolutely furious about it, and they'll regard it as a complete betrayal. Now, several things I want to ask you in this hour. I particularly want to hear from you if you are from Iran originally. What effect are these sanctions going to have? Because already the value of the Iranian rial has plummeted in value over the last year. It's lost two-thirds of its value. There are protests on the streets of Iran at the moment. Now, you may think, well, that's exactly what Donald Trump wanted. John Bolton, his national security advisor, a real Iran hawk, he's often argued for regime change in Iran. But, of course, part of the effect of these sanctions and pulling out of this nuclear deal will have meant that the so-called moderates, and as I'm saying the word moderates, I'm putting inverted commas around that, it will push these moderates a little bit towards the hardliners. Because Hassan Rouhani, the president of Iran, who is seen as a more moderate influence — he was educated in Glasgow, by the way, speaks fluent English, a bit of an Anglophile, apparently — he staked his reputation on this. When he succeeded that idiot, Ahmadinejad, he has tried to move Iran very, very slowly away from the hardliners. Well, of course, this completely undermines his position now. So he's having to come out with much stronger rhetoric to enable him to keep his position. We've seen the former president, Ahmadinejad, tweeting away today, looking to maybe come back as the president in the future. Who knows? So I want to know what effect you think this will have. And is Jeremy Hunt, the foreign secretary, right to side with the EU over the US? What effect will sanctions have on Iran? And what do you think Donald Trump's real agenda is here? 0345 60 60 973. Well, let's cross live to Washington and talk to our correspondent Simon Marks. Simon, why do you think that Donald Trump initially pulled out of the deal? Was it just to fulfill another campaign promise and just to pull down another part of the Obama infrastructure?
Well, I think it definitely was to fulfil a campaign promise. You can't spend the best part of 2 years traipsing from one end of the United States to the other, consistently calling the Iran nuclear deal horrible, the worst agreement that the United States has ever signed up to, and then find yourself in the White House and not, in a way, pull out of it. There will be those who also say that President Trump was very heavily encouraged to pull out of that Iran nuclear deal by his close political friend, happened in Israel. The Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, who of course loathed the Iran nuclear deal from the moment that former President Barack Obama proposed it. But I think you're absolutely right. It's been clear from the moment that the United States walked away from the Iran nuclear deal, but the Europeans and the other international signatories said they would continue trying to honour it, that this is going to end up in a massive dispute between the United States and the European Union, because President Trump today has begun the process of reimposing some of the sanctions that existed before the Iran nuclear deal was signed. A whole raft of them will be taking effect at midnight tonight, and then more will be reimposed in early November. And the big question, as you framed it, Ian, is what's going to happen to European companies and European governments that essentially ignore all of this and say, well, never mind American sanctions, we're going to carry on trading with Iran as the Iran nuclear deal envisages. The Trump administration says, and has said consistently since that moment back in May when Donald Trump pulled out of the Iran accord, that those European companies that breach American sanctions will be pursued by the U.S. Treasury and the U.S. Justice Department for breaking American sanctions. So they are unquestionably in legal jeopardy. And I think there are enormous questions now for companies like Total in France and many others that are doing business with Iran, not necessarily only on a large scale, some small businesses that are doing business with Iran. We're seeing here the United States now banning the import into America of Iranian food products like caviar, of Iranian carpets, Iranian cars, although I don't think very many people in the United States are coveting the ownership of an Iranian-made car. But this is setting everyone on the track for what is an inevitable showdown between the United States and the European Union as those sanctions get reimposed over the next 90 days, and as European companies have a big decision to make. Do you go ahead with trading with Iran, or do you wrap it up because the Americans are going to come after you if you do?
Just 30 seconds on the fact that Donald Trump has admitted that his son met a Russian lawyer in 2016 to collect information about Hillary Clinton. He tweeted this earlier. That's not done his son any favours, has it?
It's not done his son any favours at all, and he thought he was riding to the rescue of his son amid media reports here that Donald Trump is increasingly concerned that Donald Trump Jr. is in legal jeopardy over that meeting at Trump Tower back in 2016 before the presidential election, a meeting that previously the White House has always insisted was completely innocent, completely innocuous. It was all a discussion about Russian law on the adoption of orphans from Russia by American parents. Now, suddenly, Donald Trump putting into the public domain what everyone here has long surmised, that actually the meeting had a more nefarious intent. It was Donald Trump's son, Donald Trump Jr., trying to get some dirt from the Russians on Hillary Clinton.
I do like that word, nefarious. We don't hear it often enough, Simon. If you can bring it into every report in future, it'd be appreciated. Thank you very
much.
Well,
I'm back, Ian.
You are back with a vengeance. That's Simon Marks, our LBC US correspondent.